Olá, Tutameia está ao vivo. E antes de mais nada, nós reafirmamos nosso apoio e solidariedade à campanha internacional pela libertação do jornalista Julian Assange, preso político do imperialismo, campanha que está neste momento, num período extremamente dramático, está em andamento em Londres o julgamento da extradição de Assange. Você pode acompanhar atualizações desse informações sobre o que está ocorrendo agora em Londres por esse perfil no Twitter, Free Assange, arroba Free Assange News. A gente tem hoje aqui a satisfação de ter a presença da Hula Jamal, aqui, que é uma ativista dos direitos humanos, co-diretora do Instituto de Palestino para a Diplomacia Pública, uma organização não governamental que atua na Cisjordânia, é sediada em Ramala. Bom, a gente vai conduzir a entrevista em inglês e a gente começa já agora. Hula, thank you very much for being with us. Just some minutes ago, less than one hour ago, the Security Council of the United Nations once again vetoed, United States once again vetoed a resolution demanding the ceasefire. It was 13 votes in favor of the resolution proposed by Algeria, one abstention, UK, and the expected veto by the USA. USA says that they are drafting a new resolution that would also ask for ceasefire. The Russian ambassador says that what the states are doing is giving Israel license to kill. Being for an organization for diplomacy, what do you make of all this?
I think it's, well, first of all, thank you very much for having me. Unfortunately, we speak in extreme dire situation where our people, the Palestinian people, is witnessing an unprecedented genocide against our people, our children, our women. And it's what we saw today with the Security Council and the veto of the United States is not a surprising move. It is actually in consistency with the United States' actions against the Palestinians. We do know that the United States is part of what's going on in Palestine, is supporting Israel in the ongoing genocide against Palestinians, whether it is with arms support or political support, diplomatic support, and economic support. So it has been very clear since the beginning of the genocide and early October that the United States is part of the war and genocide against our people, and they continue to be that. So this is what I and also this confirms our extreme disappointment and our extreme views on how the entire United Nations system and the Security Council system is one that fails the oppressed, is one that fails people with just causes, is one that fails victims and peoples with rights, and it is one that supports the strong, it is one that supports people with power, and it is one that supports states that have more dominance and control over others in this world. And that's why it's very, very important that we now realize that such systems do not serve the global majority, but actually serves the global minority.
But do you believe this realization is coming to the people of all the world?
Well, I hope so. I think it's very, very crucial, very important. The genocide that is now ongoing on Palestine and Palestinians in Gaza, and that the occupation and the colonization of Palestine that has been ongoing for 75 years is very clear evidence that the situation in Palestine is that of colonization. And without a change in the global system and global processes on how power and dominance is regulated, there is a very, very likely scenario that other countries will also face the same with actual impunity that we see Israel faces. So what the problem is that what we are seeing today is a green light to one state to actually commit genocide live on TV in front of our eyes. And I just wonder, why do people think that if this is going to continue being unpunished, that it will not be the situation in all of your countries? Because once we allow it once and we have a precedent in history, then many states that have same ambitions on dominance and colonization and control and dictatorship will not feel that they cannot do the same. So I really hope that people, unfortunately, yes, in terms of the gravity and the catastrophe of our situation, it's unbelievable. But on the other side, I really hope that people now realizes that the system has failed us, and the system will fail them if it continues to be in the same manner.
What are your evaluation? What are your views about the tactics, if you can say so, or the actions of Israel government? Everybody knew that today the Security Council would discuss a ceasefire. Everybody knew the Security Council agenda, in spite of that, Israel started the day by bombing, severely bombing again and again Gaza. And the news here in Brazil says that, I'll read in Portuguese, Israel bombardeia Gaza antes da votação no Conselho de Segurança sobre trégua. E tem uma continuação. Três agências da ONU alertam sobre a crise humanitária no território e possível explosão de mortes de crianças. Because of the bombing, it may have an explosion of children's deaths.
Well, again, unfortunately, the Israeli colonizing state and the government has, since the beginning of the genocide against the people in Palestine, in Gaza, has been very consistent in actually the determination of eliminating as many Palestinians as possible. And the actions today only confirms our as civil society, our claims and our warnings and our appeals to the world that the Israeli state enjoys impunity and is a state that actually has no respect whatsoever to any international laws, to any principles of humanity, to any principles of justice, to any principles of peace, to any principles of the respect of the rule of law, and therefore they enjoy the entire green light, carte blanche, to continue with the atrocities, continue with crimes, continue with bombardment, continue with attacking civilians, attacking children, killing women, attacking hospitals, attacking mosques and churches. And this is the actions of which we know our colonizer to be a master in. This is something that they have consistently done in Palestine throughout the 75 years of colonization. Maybe not as severe as we are seeing today in Gaza, because this is the first time we witness a genocide, but definitely the Israeli colonial project and Zionism is all about the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians in every mean possible, so that they can continue in stealing more land, stealing more natural resources, and displacing the Palestinians to build the greater Israel that they hope for. So today's example is a very clear example of how arrogant and how severely rooted is the sense of continuation of killing, the continuation of suffering, and the continuation of committing further crimes against the Palestinians. They don't care, basically, what's going on in the world. They don't care about the people that they are bombing and killing. They have justified that by dehumanizing Palestinians, by equating Palestinians with animals, to make it okay for them to kill as many Palestinians as possible. And so the problem also relies in the fact that the United States is supporting this 100% and giving the green light to the Israeli government, to the Israeli military, to continue, because they are also part of this genocide against the Palestinians. They are an inseparable part of this genocide against our people. So our people are facing the United States, the colonizing state of Israel, and the European and some European countries that are participating fearlessly with the ongoing genocide on the Palestinians in Gaza.
And what about the support to the Palestinian people? I mean, there are some, like, I mean, so military, like Hezbollah and the Houthis, diplomacy. What can you tell about this theme?
Well, I think the region is in a very sensitive period at the moment. It's in a very sensitive situation. The entire region has been under several attacks throughout the decades that passed. So the Israeli air forces have been attacking Syria, have been attacking have been attacking Lebanon on many occasions. So it's not like suddenly now everything has started. And also the United States, as you also know, has been attacking and has been occupying Iraq for many, many years. And so we do have the dominance and the arms of the colonizer being in the region in general. It is not just Palestine. And so we do realize that Hezbollah and Houthis in Yemen and others do realize that this colonization is not only on Palestine. This colonization, they very openly also say that they have aims and they have aspirations to actually be creating the greater Israel, which includes many countries and states around Palestine, not only Palestine. So if people would think that this colonization is only colonizing the Palestinian, colonizing Palestine, they are mistaken. This is a colonization project that is in a bigger area in the region, including those countries. And of course, in such circumstances, in a genocide against people in such a severe manner, states decide and parties decide to react differently. And you know, the Houthis in Yemen or the different military groups in Iraq and others, they have a certain political decision, a strategic decision to take according to their own internal discussions and internal situation on what is better in this period and what are the alliances that that they can make and what are the gains that they could actually achieve from being part of stopping the genocide on Palestinians. It's all about politics. It's all about interests. And what we have seen is that the Houthis in Yemen and others have decided that they wanted to take this political strategic decision to not leave the Palestinians alone on this, and also because they understand that the threat of this colonization power is not only on Palestinians.
There has been some initiatives in favor of Palestine, like the one taken by South Africa and some international leaders speaking in favor of the Palestinian people. But in your vision, what should governments and people do to support the Palestinian cause? Is BDS an option? It's not, what the world can do despite talking.
There is a lot that the world can do. There's a lot that the people can do. At the end of the day, most of the people around the world can continue, for example, with demonstrations calling on their governments to call for ceasefire, to cut ties with Israel, to also call for economic sanctions, to call for arms embargo. The people are encouraged to communicate with their representatives in the Senate, in the Parliament, to do more on Palestine, to ask questions in Parliament to the government on what are exactly the steps that the government is going to take, to also hold presidents and officials accountable for their statements vis-a-vis their actions. Because yes, it is good to have statements, but at this stage on day 135, I think we are definitely beyond statements, and what we need is proper real action, cutting ties with a state that commits genocide, not signing further contracts with the state of that is committing genocide, cutting the ties, especially when it comes to cutting agreements that has to do with arms trade and energy that is actually being today used in the genocide against the Palestinians. These are all very simple actions, actually, when we think about the gravity of the crimes that the Israeli colonization state is doing and committing. So there is a lot that can be done. Of course, BDS is another tool that can be used to put pressure on the Israeli colonizing state to you know, reconsider and to stop the genocide and the actions against Palestinians. You can also, the people can continue raising awareness about Palestine, continue sharing information, making sure that the information is correct, defeating the Israeli propaganda that is extremely strong in many, many countries, about the actual reality and what is actually taking place in Palestine, trying to be more proactive on introducing information to the people that we know, to the people in your circles, so that they are aware and they can take action. Signing petitions that are going to be sent to, you know, different parliamentary groups on calling for the government to take proper action and ending their diplomatic relationships with Israel. There's a lot that can be done. Communicating with journalists to actually cover professionally what is happening in Palestine. I'm not saying that we need anyone to be pro-Palestine. I'm saying we need people to be pro-justice, and we need people to cover, specifically journalists, to be ethical and think when they write something, what is the consequences of these words? And this is, so there is a lot to be done. And the most important thing is do not stop, because we as human beings, we get normalized to the situation, and that is very, very dangerous. So I call upon your people that are watching us today, do not stop, because the people in Gaza are still being massacred on daily basis, on hourly basis. And if you stop caring, these people will continue to be killed in such a cold blood. And that is extremely dangerous, and we cannot allow that to happen.
Talking about the support to the Palestinian people, what do you make of the declarations of President Lula? What's the importance of these declarations in the geopolitical area, and in terms of the and more importantly, because they were said during his visit to African countries?
Yes, so definitely the statements of President Lula were strong, but at the end of the day, many presidents, many officials have actually expressed many different opinions since the beginning of the genocide and since the atrocities against Palestinians. As I said before, we are now at day 135, and it's about time that we move from statements to action. I really hope that we see, especially a president of a country like Brazil. Brazil is definitely a very, very, very important country. And it is very important for Brazil to be taking proper stand against human rights violations and against a genocide that is being committed at, you know, at the moment of that we speak now. And we see actions from Brazil, because unfortunately there are many agreements between Israel and Brazil, and there are many relations that are very deepened, and all of these need to be reconsidered, all of these need to be reevaluated, because why would Brazil be tied to in its reputation and its policies and in its history with a state that is committing genocide, with a state that has been occupying other people and violating their rights and their existence for the past 75 years? Why would Brazil feel proud of such relationships? It shouldn't. So it is very important that Brazil, as a country that is one of the biggest economies in the world, is the biggest, most important country in the region, should be taking the responsibility of a country in such a size. So definitely, we appreciate the oral support that is coming from presidents and from President Lula, but it is now definitely time for further proper action. We need to see action that shows the Israeli colonizing state that Brazil is not going to allow the continuation of impunity of a state that is currently committing massacres and slaughtering children. So it is very, very important that we see that happening.
Rula, you've stated that the conflict or the attack, the Israeli attack, is now on its 135th day. I would like to bring some numbers here to show what this means. Eu vou apresentar, aproveitando que a nossa convidada falou dos dias de ataque, eu vou apresentar números do que significa isso. Esse é um boletim distribuído ontem à noite pela Embaixada da Palestina no Uruguai, dando conta que há mais de 29.100 pessoas assassinadas na faixa de Gaza, quase 399 assassinados na Cisjordânia. Nesse total, são 12.400 crianças assassinadas. Se você acompanhar o boletim dia a dia, esse é o número que mais cresce proporcionalmente. 12.400 crianças, 7.850 mulheres, 695 idosos e todos esses outros números terríveis, inéditos em conflito no mundo, que chocam o mundo e que precisam, enfim, mostram que a solidariedade que é necessária dar ao povo palestino. Lembro que, como disse a representante da ONU, esse número de mortes e feridos, de crianças feridas, deve explodir. Rula, I just pointed to some numbers, but I'd like you to tell us what is to live in Ramallah. I mean, the West Bank, the borders have been attacked by Israel. What is to live so near this bombing, this tragedy, this family destruction? What your day-to-day life? Can you tell us a bit about your day-to-day life?
Yeah. Well, I must just remind the people that are watching us that, you know, the West Bank and Jerusalem, including areas occupied 1948 and beyond the Green Line, it's all under occupation. It's all under the same system of colonization, and the different violations that we see just diversified from one place to another. So in Ramallah, for example, there are daily raids of the Israeli occupation forces. And when we say raids, it's usually heavy machinery, heavy presence of soldiers, heavily armed soldiers raiding the cities, usually at dawn hours. In those raids, there's usually a lot of arrests, and also sometimes killing of Palestinians that are meeting those military jeeps with maybe throwing stones, and also the Israeli army would bomb. Tear gas bombs and other types of bombs, sound bombs, in those attacks and raids against Palestinians in cities like Jenin, like Nablus, and we have seen Tulkarem, for example. We have seen some cities as well, like Tulkarem refugee camps, being totally destroyed. There are raids within. There are raids into the camps in different cities. People in the West Bank are not in a normal situation. They continue to face very barbaric actions from the Israeli army, the Israeli colonization army. And it is, this is on one hand. On the other hand, you know, it feels extremely terrible to be so close to your own people that are facing a massacre, that are facing a genocide, and not being able to do anything to actually help save the lives of children and help save the lives of women and men that are being killed in front of our eyes. So it feels terrible, and the sense of helplessness is extremely strong, and it's very, very difficult to be there, but at the same time actually being so close, but at the same time being so far away. So, and this is a policy of fragmentation that the Israeli occupation and the Israeli Zionist project has been inflicting on Palestinians and Palestinian areas for so long, because with fragmentation comes more power and more dominance. And this is the situation and the case in Palestine and Palestinian cities. So there is no, the daily life of a Palestinian living anywhere in Palestine is not a safe one. There is no safe havens in Palestine. It is not, there is no one area that is totally immune from any attacks or any Israeli military presence or Israeli colonial settler presence, because, you know, in the West Bank, the attacks of the colonialists, the settler colonialists, are very high, and they are also heavily armed, and they also enjoy total impunity in their actions against Palestinians. They are encouraged and to kill Palestinians, to demolish and burn houses, to demolish and burn cities and villages. So the situation is very, very extreme. And then there's also the attacks on people that are expressing themselves on social media. These people are being prosecuted for their expression of opinions on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, etc. And the amount of arrests are just unbelievable. We today have over 10,000 Palestinians that are in Israeli prisons, 10,000 Palestinian political prisoners that today are in very, very, very bad conditions, especially after the 7th of October. The collective punishment against the Palestinian prisoners has been extremely difficult. There are more than three people that have been killed during interrogation in prisons, and the attacks and the crackdown on prisoners is unprecedented as well. So the entire situation in Palestine is terrible. It is not just, of course, the most terrible things are happening in Gaza. It's a genocide. You cannot compare it to anything else. But that does not mean that the situation in the West Bank and Jerusalem, or for Palestinians holding Israeli citizenships, is better.
Do you foresee any solution for all that's happened? I mean, first things should be the ceasefire, but what happens next?
Definitely, we have to speak about the immediate ceasefire and the immediate attention to the destruction and the catastrophe that we will witness after the ceasefire is done. I mean, you can just imagine what would we expect after the ceasefire happens. I can't even imagine the situation. How would it be in Gaza? The amount of destruction, we're talking about an entire city that was almost entirely destructed. So we need to really think about focusing all our efforts on pushing as much as we can to stop this insanity. This is insanity. what we are seeing today is a total opposite to humanity. And so this is where our entire focus should be. And then whatever happens next has to be aligned with ending colonization, because as long as there is colonization against the Palestinians, this will be repeated. So the most important thing for us is we need to end the colonization. Palestine have to be liberated, and the liberation of Palestine is the only solution for the Palestinians to live in security, in freedom, and to enjoy human rights like any other human being on this planet.
Well, you've been in Brazil for 4 days, and in a few minutes you are flying to Brasilia. Can you tell us where you meet with members of the government and members of the Congress? Can you tell us a bit about your work in these days here in Brazil? What you're doing, what you tell these people you are meeting with? What do you expect them to do or say or publicize?
Well, it's very important to basically advocate for Palestine, to advocate for attention needed to the genocide that is now taking place in Palestine. Basically, what I told you today in this interview is the same thing that I will be speaking to different parliamentarians and different groups in Brasilia, hoping that they will actually move from statements into action. It is for us extremely important that the Brazilian government and the Brazilian parliament understands how important it is for them to act and how important it is for us that Brazil takes a very, very clear and strong position, something similar to what the South Africans have done. South Africa is also part of the BRICS. Brazil is part of the BRICS. And it's very, very important that these countries continue on taking steps that will be very, very important historically even, and in such a situation where they actually take positions that will set historic precedents. So this is mainly the aim of my visit, to continue on speaking with like-minded, friendly states to do the right thing, basically, at this period, and do not be intimidated by the different attacks from different groups that supports genocide, that calls for genocide. Because, you know, these groups will never stop, because the entire mentality is based on eliminating an entire population. So it is very important that that Brazil and Brazilian officials cease from being intimidated by any groups that are actually aligned with principles of dehumanizing other human beings on this planet. That cannot be the position that Brazil and Brazilian officials and politicians can take.
Great. Rula, we'd like to thank you very much for your time here, for this interview, telling us about the conditions Palestinian people live, this massacre, this genocide, and the actions that people can take to support the Palestinian people, maybe help to end this, or at least help to cease the fire there. A gente quer agradecer também a participação de todo o público que se formou aqui para acompanhar essa entrevista. Lembramos que essa entrevista fica disponível em todos os canais Tutameia. Busque por Tutameia TV e você nos encontra nas várias plataformas de podcast, no Twitter, no Facebook, no YouTube. No YouTube, não deixe de se inscrever no nosso canal e clicar na sinetinha para receber avisos de novos vídeos. Visite também o nosso site, Tutameia. O endereço é tutameia.jor.br. E agora, antes do tchauzinho, a gente devolve a palavra para a nossa convidada, para que, dessa vez, sem perguntas, ela faça o seu fechamento. Rula, now, this time, with no questions, we give you the mic so that you can speak your mind to the people that are with us now, or that will be with us to the internet. So thank you very much. The word is with you.
Well, obrigada. And thank you for having me. I would call on the people that are watching us to continue being our allies, to continue being our friends, to continue being our partners, because we have many things in common in fighting against oppression, in fighting against injustices. There's a lot that we can learn from each other, and there is a lot that we can achieve together. And so be the voices we need you to be for the justice and for the justice for Palestine and the freedom of Palestinians and the freedom of Palestine, and be our ambassadors in places where Palestinians are not allowed to have any voices. We invite you to know more about what's happening, continue following, continue pushing within your communities and within your parliamentarians and congressmen and women to push for ending the impunity of the Israeli colonizing state. It is very important that we act now and we together build honorable history towards ending impunity and towards stopping genocide and stopping crimes against humanity and grave crimes against Palestinians and against injustices. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Have a good time in Brazil. Tchau, pessoal. Boa tarde.